forests, but by reason of a sweet, gracious presence dwelling among them, it grew in grace and sweetness day by day. In the Canada beyond the lakes, where men are making empire, the sons of these Glengarry men are found, and there such men are needed, for not wealth, not enterprise, not energy can build a nation into sure greatness, but men, and only men with the fear of God in their hearts, and with no other. And to make this clear is also a part of the purpose of this book. End of Dedication and Preface. Chapter 1 of The Man from Glengarry. The Man from Glengarry, A Tale of the Ottawa, by Ralph Connor. Chapter 1. The Open River. The winter had broken early, and the Scotch River was running ice-free and full from bank to bank. There was still snow in the woods, and with good sleighing and open rivers, every day was golden to the lumbermen who had stuff to get down to the big water. A day gained now might save weeks at a chute farther down, where the rafts would crowd one another and strive for right-of-way. Dan Murphy was mightily pleased with himself and with the bit of the world about him, for there lay his winter's cut of logs in the river below him, snug and secure and held tight by a boom across the mouth, just where it flowed into the nation. In a few days he would have his crib made and his outfit ready to start for the Ottawa mills. He was sure to be ahead of the big timber rafts that took up so much space, and whose crews with unbearable effrontery considered themselves the aristocrats of the river. Yes, it was a pleasant and satisfying sight, some 3 solid miles of logs boomed at the head of the big water. Suddenly Murphy turned his face up the river. "What's that now, do you think, Lenoir?" he asked. Lenoir, or Lenoir, as they all called it in that country, was Dan Murphy's foreman, and, as he himself said, "For hacks, for hit, eat, for fight, de boss on de river Ottawa, by gar!" Louis Lenoir was a French-Canadian, handsome, active, hardy, and powerfully built. He had come from the New Brunswick woods some 3 years ago, and had wrought and fought his way, as he thought, against all rivals, to the proud position of boss on the river, the topmost pinnacle of a lumberman's ambition. It was something to see Lenoir run a log across the river and back. That is, he would balance himself upon a floating log, and by spinning it round, would send it whither he would. At Murphy's question, Lenoir stood listening with bent head and open mouth. Down the river came the sound of singing. "Dunno me. Ah, oui, be dam. Das MacDonald gang, for sure. De men from Glengarry, les diables. Dey not hout de river yet." His boss went off into a volley of oaths. "They'll be wanting the river now, and they're divils to fight. We give 'em the full belly, eh? Bon," said Lenoir, throwing back his head. His only unconquered rival on the river was the boss of the MacDonald gang. "Horo mo nian down voyak, hiri mo nian down voyak, mo hailek lach voyak, ha fosein akhu." Down the river came the strong, clear chorus of men's voices, and soon a pointer, pulled by 6 stalwart men with a lad in the stern, swung round the bend into view. A single voice took up the song. "Sa'an hamorans nebiantev, farvel mo riven graunar, maros amphasic shamraik, am glaun fado shail." After the verse, the full chorus broke forth again. "Horo mo nian," etc. Swiftly the pointer shot down the current, the swaying bodies and swinging oars in perfect rhythm, with the song that rose and fell with melancholy but musical cadence. The men on the high bank stood looking down upon the approaching singers. "You know dem fellers?" said Lenoir. Murphy nodded. "Every divil of them. Big Mac Cameron, Danny Ross, Finley Campbell, the red-headed one. The next I don't know. And yes, bedad, there's that blanked Yankee. Yankee Jim, they call him, and bad luck till him. The divil will have to take the poker till him, for he'll bait him with his fist, and so he will. And that big black divil is Black Hugh, the brother of the boss, Mac